Okay, welcome to the Kli Yakar Shir Parshas Tzav. I wanted to see a Kli Yakar tonight, which is not only Parsha relevant, but in a sense is Pesach relevant. The Kli Yakar on Perek Vav Pasuk Tes, the Pasuk is describing the proper preparation of the mincha, of the flour offering, and it says that the way the flour offering works is that the kohen takes a kometz, he takes a small pinch of the karbon, puts it on the mizbeach. The pasuk test tells us, v'hanoseres mimeno, whatever is left from the flour offering after this pinch, this kometz, is placed on the mizbeach. Yochlu Aaron uvanov, the rest of the kohanim eat. Where should they eat it? Matzos te'ochel, it should be eaten as matzos. In other words, it shouldn't be chametz. That's going to be underscored in the next pasuk. But makom kadosh, it should be eaten by the kohanim in a holy place. B'chatzar oel moed yochluha, it should be eaten in the courtyard of the oel moed. Lo se'afech chametz. Pasuk Yud says that the leftovers, the shiari amincha, the leftovers of the flour offering should not be made into something chametzdik. Its quality as matzah has to be preserved, right? So, if you take a look in pasuk tes, so we'll take a look. He talks about this idea of matzah and chametz, which both in the context of the Karban Mincha as well as in the context of Pesach, where it's obviously relevant. Let's just, if you want to come for Mechiras Chametz, we'll do it right now. Mechiras Chametz, yeah. Mechiras Chametz. Yeah. Just take a moment.
Thank you.
So I want to skip through this piece a little bit first. Got to skip the first two paragraphs for those who have the newer edition, and I'm going to start with the paragraph that begins V'tam harchokas haseor. Right, all of the menachos, basically almost every flour offering that's brought in the Beis HaMikdash is supposed to be matzah and not chametz. Why is it so important to keep chametz as far out of the Beis HaMikdash as possible? In other words, forget about Pesach. Even during the rest of the year, the chametz was by and large something that did not come into the Beis HaMikdash. The reason that we so stay away from chametz can be explained in one of two ways. The first way to explain why the Torah is so insistent that chametz not come into the Beis HaMikdash is like in accordance with the words of Rabbi Alexandri at the end of the second parak of Brachos. Sha'amar. What? Right. Sha'amar, Alexandri says that he used to say every day in davening as follows: Ritzoneinu lasos ritzoncha, Ribono shel Olam, our will is to do your will. Ela shesa'or shebe'iso me'akev, but the chametz, the sourdough that's in the dough, prevents us from doing your will. We would love to do your will, Ribbono Shel Olam, but the chametz is getting in the way. What do you mean the chametz is getting in the way? I can't do the will of the Ribbono Shel Olam because of chalas, right? So the answer is, you know, the Rebbe Alexandri is using Sa'ar Shebe'isa as a metaphor for the Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara is referred to by Rebbe Alexandri as chametz. Right? So there's a connection between the Yetzer Hara and chametz. V'alzeh aderech pirashnu l'maylo posuk osor v'chol devash lo saktir menu isha l'Hashem parashus v'yikra. V'alzeh ne'mar kan kodesh kodoshim kachatos v'cha'oshom. That's what the Pasuk says in Pasuk Yud. Lo se'afe chametz, the mincha should not be made into chametz. Chelkom nosati oso me'ishoy, I've given the Kohanim their due from the mincha. Kodesh kodoshim kachatos v'cha'oshom. The mincha is considered to be kodesh kodoshim, holy of holies, just like the carbon chatos and just like the carbon oshom, just like these various sin offerings. In what sense is the carbon mincha like the sin offerings? So he says as follows. Ki al yidei zivichas ha-carbon, when a person brings an animal carbon and he shechts it, ha-adam zoveyach yitzra, symbolically the person is shechting his yitzahara, v'yuvukash v'himei einenu, and it disappears. Al-kein gam ha-mincha ba'o nekiya min ha-sa'or, and it's for that reason that the mincha, the flower offering, is free of chametz. The chametz represents the Yetzer Hara, and the mincha is a carbon which represents that the person is, you know, somehow ridding himself of the Yetzer Hara. The same way that when you shecht a chatos or an asham, you're ridding yourself, at least in part, of the Yetzer Hara. You're ridding yourself of the Yetzer Hara for that particular aveira. So too, it only stands to reason that the mincha should be free of any chametz, i.e. free of any yetzahara. In other words, the lack of chametz in the korbanos represents the idea that the yetzahara is being banished from the realm of the korbanos. But the problem is, we know that there are certain korbanos during the year, certain menachos, that do involve chametz. Onam shtei alechem shel atzeres and shvuas, they were two loaves of bread that were actually chametz. Chametz te'ofena, the Pasuk says. On Shavuos, the menachos that were brought, the shtei alechem, were actually chametz. So here, that seems counterintuitive. Shavuos is the day on which the Torah itself was given. You would think if any day was the day on which we would banish the Yetzer Hara, so it would be Shavuos. Not so, he says. Shtei alechem shel atzeres bo davka chametz. Ki ilmale Yetzer Hara, lo hayu atachtonim tzrichim el hatorah yoser min ha'elyonim. In an odd kind of way, the Yetzer Hara is the reason that we have the Torah. Because if we didn't have the Yetzer Hara, the Ribbono Shel Olam would have kept the Torah up in the heavens and never given it to us down on earth. Ki b'tayna zo nitzach Moshe ha-malochim v'omar klum yesh Yetzer Hara b'neichem. And he references the famous Maimer Chazal, Gemara and Shabbos, that when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Shamayim to receive the Torah and to bring it down, the Malachim didn't want to give it to him. And the Ribbono Shel Olam told Moshe Rabbeinu, alright, make an argument for why I should give, you know, Klal Yisrael the Torah. So Moshe Rabbeinu says to the Malachim, it says in the Torah, Lo Sirtzach, you guys murder one another. It says in the Torah, Lo Sinof, you guys, you know, commit adultery. It says, Kavidus Ovichov Yasimechov, you guys have a father, a mother. The reason that the Torah is shayich to people as opposed to being relevant to Malachim is because we have a Yetzer Hara. That's why the Torah speaks to us. So the Malachim only agree for the Torah to be given to Klal Yisrael because of the presence of the Yetzer Hara. So ironically, we celebrate that Yetzer Hara on Shavuos because that's why we have the Torah, and we celebrate the Yetzer Hara by having the Shtei Alechem Davka being made out of Chametz. That's number one. Ode. Another reason that on Shavuos Davka we have the Shtei Alecha made from Chametz, Shemitzias HaYetzer Hara Hechrechi, because the Yetzer Hara is a necessary component of our lives here on earth. V'lumaleihu Lobana HaAdam Bayis V'lanasa Isha. So the Gemara says in Yuma right? When Chazal were actually able to conquer the Eis HaHara temporarily, no eggs were laid, right? Were it not for the Eis HaHara, the Eis HaHara, you know, is the drive to do evil, but it's also the drive to accomplish things, to do things. Were it not for the Eis HaHara, people wouldn't get married. Were it not for the Eis HaHara, people wouldn't build houses. In other words, the Eis HaHara pushes us to do things, to want to root ourselves in this material world. It's not entirely bad, the Eis HaHara. The one thing, however, the Eis HaHara is a force for good, but it has to be checked by Torah. Torah, however, can take the Eis HaHara, keep it in check, and channel it in the right way. Ki haTorah tavlin elav, because Torah can be a spice to the Eis HaHara, and can enable the Eis HaHara to be harnessed for the power of good. That, he says, is the second reason why we davka feel comfortable on Shavuos having menachos made out of chametz, because on Shavuos, of all days that celebrates the Torah, that's the one day that we feel comfortable being able to allow the Eitz Hara free reign, in a sense, because we know that Torah has the power to keep the Eitz Hara in check. So yes, we can have chametz on Shavuos, because the power of Shavuos will make sure that the chametz is not going to go out of bounds. But there's another example where chametz comes into the Beis HaMikdash, and that's with regard to the Karban Todah, the Thanksgiving offering. We know that the Karban Todah, in addition to the Zevach, in addition to the animal aspect of the Karban Todah, the Karban Todah also was brought together with 40 loaves. 30 of the loaves were matzah, 10 of the loaves were chametz. What's the significance of that? Aval haTodah hayu bo chalos chametz u'matzah ke'echad. As we mentioned before, the Karban Todah had chametz and matzah together. Ki amatzah le'os shikvar nichna ba'amal liba. The matzah symbolizes the fact that the person bringing the Karban Todah, who had experienced some kind of dangerous situation, was saved from it. He has been he has become submissive to HaKadosh Baruch Hu by virtue of having gone through this experience. As the Pasuk of Tehillim, which is the basis for the, you know, for the bringing of the Karban Todah, says, "Vayachna be'amal libam." After the people who have to bring a Karban Todah go through the various traumatic experiences that they go through, their hearts are subdued or subjugated. The Chazal darshu pasuk zoveach todah yichab denani, al zoveach yisro umisvade olav. Chazal explained that the pasuk that in Tehillim that talks about shechting a Karban Todah is actually talking about shechting the Yetz Hara. Umisham raya shezvichas haTodah hayu zvichas haYetz Hara al kein maybe laos chalos masos nikias menasor. The person who's gone through the traumatic experience and brings a Karban Todah as a result is essentially, again, a person who has managed to subdue his Yetz HaHara. Because let's say, take for example, the person who was sick and is healed from a sickness and brings a Karban Todah, we hope that the experience of having been, you know, sick and recovered from that sickness, you know, brings the person to a certain submissiveness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It teaches the person that he's not as high and mighty as he might have thought that he was once upon a time. It teaches him to surrender to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So by and large, the person bringing the Karban Todah brings masa, you know, to indicate that submissiveness. But nonetheless, for a person to go through that traumatic experience and lose his Yetz HaHara entirely would not be a good thing either. Like we said before, a person needs the Yetz HaHara in order to just keep the human race going. Alken hayu gam chalos chametz. That's why there had to be these loaves of chametz that came together with the chalos matzah. Basically, the message is as follows: after a person undergoes a traumatic experience like that described by the Karban, you know, with regard to the Karban Todah, he becomes a changed individual. He becomes a different kind of person. And he becomes more spiritual and, you know, thinks about the, you know, the important things in life. And that's as it should be. But a person shouldn't go to the other extreme and forget about all of the material things in this world, even after he goes through a traumatic experience and is saved from it, because that would not be helpful. You know, that would not be a good thing. So as he brings, even as he brings 30 loaves of chametz, he brings 10 loaves of matzah together with it. Even as he brings 30 loaves of matzah, he brings 10 loaves of chametz together with it, this changed personality doesn't sever his connection to the material world. Omnam, lefi shalom asino b'minchas chote shum chametz. But it's interesting. When a person sins and brings a carbon mincha as a result of sinning, we don't find any chametz at all. Again, the only example of chametz that we really find is with regard to the carbon ta'od and l'shnei alechem. Nuchal lomar behepichze. So what's the idea that the person who sins doesn't bring any chametz? Shezeh shemei v'karba ha'cheto me'atzmo b'lo hechrech v'adai shlo nisha b'klum min ha'sa'or ha'pnimi. Aval ha'zoveach toda achar shebo olov yisur machrich mo'sol ala tshuva. Right? He says the following idea, a little bit different from what he said before. The person who brings a carbon toda brings a carbon because circumstances forced him to bring a carbon. Why is he bringing a carbon? Because he went through some traumatic experience, was saved from it, and is bringing a carbon toda to show his thanksgiving. But notice HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought about terrible things on the person first, before he brought this carbon toda. So in a sense, the inner chametz has not been entirely removed. So here, in the understanding of things, the 10 loaves of chametz are not a positive thing entirely. They're pointing to the fact that although it's wonderful that the person was saved and is bringing a carbon toda, the fact that he had to be forced into the situation to bring a carbon toda, the fact that God had to bring bad things upon him in order to force him to this recognition that he can only depend on the Ribbono Shel Olam, means that on some level there's a little bit of chametz, you know, still inside of him. And then he makes the following observation. This is very relevant for Pesach. V'teida v'taskil ki chametz osios matzah. You know, it's interesting that the same letters that spell out chametz are basically the same letters that spell out Masa. Ve'im shovim b'mivta ki aheva aches mischalfen bi'osios achha. Although there is a difference between Chametz and Masa in one regard, Chametz is spelled with a ches, Masa is spelled with a hey, the other two letters are the same, mem and sadi. And says the Kli Yakar, hey and ches are basically the same letter. Right, they're pronounced slightly differently, but they're basically the same letter. I mean, ask anyone in America, you know, as to what the Jewish holiday is that falls out during December time, and you'll find out that Ches and Hey literally are the same letter. You know, we celebrate Hanukkah, right? So, although we do pronounce the Ches a little bit differently than the Hey, but Lemaisa, 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 says the Kli Yakar, is basically the same letter. Ach, sheish l'chametz mispar shalosh yeser al matzah. But from a gematria perspective, chametz is three more than matzah, right? Because again, the difference between a hay, which is five, and a ches, which is eight, is three. So the gematria of chametz is three more than the gematria of matzah. So what? So he says, the gematria of chametz is three more than the gematria of matzah. Oh. Right? So what? So he says, "Kineged zeh hoye kineged kochalas chametz gimel shel matzah shiu shavin bekamus." So that's why when the carbon toda was brought, there were three times as many loaves of matzah as there were loaves of chametz. In other words, there were 10 loaves of chametz, 30 loaves of matzah to cancel out, to counterbalance the three points in gematria that chametz has over matzah. So in the carbon toda, they were balanced out in this way so that they would be basically equivalent to one another. What are those three things? So what's the the symbolism of the three things that chametz has over matzah. So says the Kli Yakar, because chametz has three points over matzah, there are three things that we can use to defeat the chametz and to make it an evil playing ground between the chametz and the matzah. The three parts of Torah: Mikra, Mishnah, and Gemara. Those three aspects of Torah study, Tanakh study, Mishnah study, Talmud study, which we do every day. In other words, that's how the Karbanos is set up in the morning. So we do a little bit of Mikra, a little bit of Mishnah, a little bit of Talmud, right? So those three aspects of Torah study are able to counterbalance, you know, the Matzah and put on an equal footing together with the Chametz.
Is it only Torah?
It's interesting. He doesn't go in that direction. I'm not sure why he doesn't adopt. I mean, there are many other three things, you know, that one could think of. I guess he's saying, in the end of the day, since we know that the chametz represents the Yetzer Hara, and the Gemara says that Torah is a tavlin to the Yetzer Hara, so it's the three aspects of Torah that are going to be specifically that are going to be able to defeat the chametz and you know, make the chametz the equivalent of matzah. I think that's where he's going with this vort. That's what he said before. So up until now, he's developed the idea that chametz is the Yetzer Hara, and that's how we explain its virtual absence with all of the karbanos and the fact that only in a few karbanos do we find this idea of chametz. Derech sheni hu ayoser nacham ikarav lishma. But my second explanation of the fact that chametz is absent from the karbanos, I like even better, he says. Shamatzah simenu achna. Matzah represents humility. Ki isas matzah sheinu ola lamala. Right? Just like the matzah doesn't rise. So matzah is a sign of humility. U'matzah shochaga pesach yochiach. And the biggest proof to this is the matzah of Pesach. Why? We know that matzah is a sign of cheirus, of freedom. So if matzah is a sign of freedom, how is it also a sign of humility? He says very simply, right? Why did God love us so much that He took us out of Mitzrayim? Because we were humble. Humility was the key to the Geula. So if Matzah is the bread of Geula, of redemption, it stands to reason that that's the case, because Matzah is also the bread of humility. Humility and Geula go hand in hand. After all, what does God ask from us? Yiras Shemayim. And it's anava, it's humility that leads to Yiras Shemayim.
What do you mean that we were humble? I mean, we were slaves, so certainly we didn't feel very low and very lucky.
Right.
So, well, anybody in that state would certainly be humiliated.
Right, right. I think, you know, that itself is an explanation for why we had to go through the Galus Mitzrayim. In other words, the Galus imposed upon us the sense of Anava, and it imbued it in the Jewish spirit. In other words, this became a part of who we are because we went through that experience. And now, going forward, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, will have a special love for us because, you know, we will never lose that sense of Anava, of humility, that was, you know, beaten into us literally by the Galus Mitzrayim. You know, I mean, I think it's true as well that the Jewish people had a natural predisposition for it, but the Galus Mitzrayim, you know, made it even more a part of who we are. The more humility there is in this world, to that extent, God's sovereignty is going to be that much more revealed. And as the more humility we have, the more God's greatness is going to be revealed. This is what I said before. This is the reason God took us into Egypt. God wanted to humble us, because it's that humility which we learned in Mitzrayim that made us worthy of being God's people. Through our hachna, through our being humble, that's how we were zocha to come tachas kanfei yashchina and to accept God's yoke. And he says as follows: L'fikach din hachametz b'sreifa davka. That's why when we get rid of chametz, we burn it. Why do we burn it? Ki nimus kilusin hu shekol amiska nidon bo'esh. Kedisa b'medrash al ha'posuk zos toras ha'ola ki ha'ola al mokta. Ki arosa lalos lamala kiteva hachametz ha'ola lamala roi lios nidon bo'esh asher tivo lalos lamala. Chazal darshan on the pasuk at the beginning of this week's parsha, Zos taras ha'ola hi ha'ola al mokta. The one who wants to rise up and be haughty deserves to be burnt by fire. Right? Hi ha'ola al mokta. So, comments the kliyoker, that's the symbolism behind the idea of davka burning chametz. And again, as we know, there's a machlokas in the Gemara when the pasuk says tashbisu sa'ar. You know, that you have to get rid of chametz. One position of the Gemara, the position of the Chacham, is just however you get rid of it, you get rid of it. Rabbi Yehuda says no, you have to be sorry for it, you have to burn it. Why do I have to burn it? And we are in our practices, we know we're makpid for Rabbi Yehuda lechatzchila. We try to burn the chametz, we try to burn a little bit of chametz. Why burn it? Right? Go scatter it and throw it into the sea. Why do you have to go? Why are you burning bagels? You know, like what do you seek to gain?
Well, I was last night. They said you don't have to burn the chametz. You can give it to a homeless person or whatever.
Yeah, right. Okay, but you know, you'll fulfill. You know, you could definitely get rid of it in many, many different ways. But there is an ideal to burn to get rid of at least some of it through burning, right? So where does that idea come from? Why should burning be the way to get rid of chametz? He says the symbolism behind it is that burning is identified by Chazal as the punishment for somebody who's haughty. To the extent to which the chametz is the symbol of haughtiness, so burning is the appropriate way to destroy that and get that out of the world. But that's also why we find it a unique halacha when it comes to chametz. That chametz on Pesach is also even in the smallest amount. We know when it comes to most Yisurim, right, you have a cholent, and a small drop of milk falls into the cholent. So we know the concept of bittul b'shishim, right, that the little drop of milk is going to be nullified, is going to be negated by the rest of the cholent. Not so when it comes to chametz. Chametz, even the smallest amount on Pesach itself, is not going to be bottled, it's not going to be nullified. Why not? Why is chametz so strict? So he says, when it comes to most character traits, to most attributes, the person is supposed to be a centrist. He's supposed to, you know, not be too extreme in the midos, one way or the other. But the Rambam famously writes that the one area in life in which we're supposed to be extremists is when it comes to humility. The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, me'od me'od hevi shval ruach, very, very much you should be humble. We're supposed to be extremely humble, not just moderately humble, but extremely humble. Shamu Yazal lo minav lo miksosa. Right? Chazal say, I don't want any part of gaiva. Harei she'osra afilu mashu mina gaiva. Right? They prohibited even, you know, the smallest amount of gaiva. Kach mashu mina chametz osur. It's for that reason that even a little bit of chametz is going to be also. V'chein amru razal ma'od ma'od hevish faruach b'fnei kol adam v'remes aflaga singla archiko mikol v'chol. This is the idea behind chametz being also even in the slightest amount. So again, a lot of the ideas that he develops over here, let's just chazer over two basic ideas behind why chametz is prohibited for the majority of the karbanos. Either chametz represents the yetzer hara, which can only be corrected by Torah, or chametz represents the idea of gaiva, of haughtiness, right? And he likes that pshat better, that chametz represents the idea of haughtiness. And chametz representing the idea of haughtiness explains a number of things about chametz for Pesach, why it has to be destroyed through sreifa, through burning, why chametz is going to be aser b'mashu, why even the smallest amount of chametz is going to be aser, and why matzah is the bread of freedom, because matzah, after all, represents humility, which, again, he says, is the whole reason that we have this Galus Mitzrayim, in order for the Jews to acquire the trait of humility and to be able to use it. These are some of the ideas that he brings out. Halavai, we should be zocha to not only utilize these ideas as we go into Shabbos HaGadol, Shabbos Tzav, but also to inculcate the ideas of Chametz and Matzahs becoming into Pesach, and to be able to experience a true Chag Kosher v'Sameach. Okay, we'll say Kasha. Yeah, we'll have a Kasha Omer. Rotsa